Hello, you're listening.
You are listening to SRM
Student Radio Maastricht
on 107.5 FM.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Student Radio Maastricht on RTV Maastricht 107.5 FM. My name is Sham, doing the tech today, and really glad you tuned in to this episode called Mozart, bringing art back to track.
Back to town.
Back to town, indeed. Thank you so much.
Town.
Yes.
And hello,
can you please introduce yourselves, the masterminds behind the show?
Hello, everyone. I'm Liam, and you just listened to Spain by Ned. Ned usually likes to mix some oriental and cultural vibes from his travels into his music, but this has obviously got a little Spanish influence on it. And talking about Spain, today we have with us Arturo.
I know a little bit about that, yes.
And yeah, so
nice. Filmmaker, Jibbo.
Yeah, guys, let's talk a bit about you guys first. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, well, first of all, hi, everyone. Really happy to be back here. Yeah, my name is Arturo. I'm a visual artist based in Maastricht since 2020, I think. The best time to move into the city. And I just basically draw. I draw a lot, as much as I can, basically. That's what I do.
Yeah. My name is Chippo. I'm a filmmaker. Currently in Maastricht, but yeah, I live a bit of a nomadic lifestyle. But yeah, I've been here a couple months and I'm enjoying it.
Where were you before?
Well, I actually just came back from a trip. I cycled to Bilbao. So I've been on the road for about a month now, cycling, and yeah, it's been intense. But before this, I was living in Belgium, in Leuven. Sorry, in middle.
Yeah,
Arturo,
actually, too. We know each other through the people from there. Actually, this Leuven people that we've been collaborating together. Yeah, it's just a really nice art culture in that city. Actually, I really like it. It's like many people doing things and.
And it's kind of our scene. We kind of
talking about this. You guys only recently got into art, you know, big time. 2020, I hear, for Arturo.
Yes.
Videography by a year. Yep. What inspired you guys to start doing what you're doing?
Well, I mean, for me, I think I always had that kind of creative impulse inside me, but I've never made use of. It. And then when the pandemic kicked, I was locked in Spain like for 3 months, you know, locked at home. I didn't know what to do. And then I had this idea of, okay, let's start drawing. I was kind of inspired by also one friend of mine from there, from Spain, that he was drawing like very weird things. And I was like, oh man, that looks really, really cool. So I just in those 3 months, I just started trying around a little bit and trying to do things, and that's how I started. Yeah.
And about you, Chippo, how did you get into videography?
Yeah, it's been a long journey. Like similar to Arturo, also always had a creative impulse. My brother is a painter, and he's kind of been in it for long. And my personal journey started after. A bit of a like COVID. I'm sure a lot of people had a rough period during that time, but I also had a rough period, and I ended up homeless, and yeah, I was like staying in a bunch of crazy places and experiencing some heavy stuff, and the only way I thought I could process that whole event was to write about it. And as soon as I started writing, the visuals came, and I just knew, okay, got the visuals, I got the story. So I guess I'm going to be a filmmaker
you
now.
You only need the medium to tell it.
Eureka.
Yeah, that's a, you know, kind of just starting from trauma in a way, in some essence, like COVID, heavy times. Yeah.
What about you, man?
Yeah, I started, so I write. I write because I can draw. I have a little thing called a motoric disorder. Mm-hmm. So I try to paint pictures with my words. Mm. And that's always been a struggle. And in my family, both my grandparents painted. So I always really wanted to paint, but then I learned I couldn't. that's how I started writing. And I started when I was young. I had like a little emotional upheaval as a teenager. Then I stopped for a couple of years to study. And then I started back up again recently.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing is that if there's something that you have inside you, that you cannot escape from it, you know.
Yeah.
You have to find a way to put it out.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk a lot about art, but before we talk about art, now we're going to listen to the next track, and that's Now When We Talk, It's Violence by Projector from Brighton in the UK.
Thanks for staying tuned in. You're listening to Student Radio Maastricht on RTV Maastricht 107.5 FM. My name is Shah, I'm doing the tech. And you're listening to the episode Mo's Art, bringing art back on track. And let me, without further ado, hand over the stage to our host, Liam. Thank you so much for coming by and also selecting these tracks, Liam.
Yeah, thank you, Shah. Yeah, we're very happy. You just listened to When We Talk, It's Violence by Projector. Projector, I met recently after they played a show with Video Call and Jufenbunker in Landgraaf. They're a UK-based band, and they're looking to actually bring their music to the Netherlands, to the mainland, more often, and we're trying to get them to come over here, maybe in Maastricht, sometime soon. And they will be in The Hague in May, at the 25th of May. So guys, we're all artists here today. What are the ways that, you know, how do you guys go about like trying to get your art out there, expose your art, as it were?
Man, that's actually a very good one. That's actually a very good question, because I think that when you are starting, sometimes because you don't have the confidence and sometimes because you don't have the contacts, it's like really difficult to break that barrier, that first barrier, and start saying like, okay, I want to put this out, I want the people to look, in my case, to look at my art, but where do I start? in my case, for example, I think it came, actually it's really interesting because it came because Chipo's brother was already organizing some events that were called RT parties that we are still doing Leuven in time to time. They are amazing. And it was just like this idea of a very inclusive event in which everyone can just bring their art and just like make art together, and everyone is welcome and everyone is invited. But the thing is that you don't have those type of spaces and those type of inclusive entry-level spaces everywhere. And
have you ever tried applying to galleries?
Not really, because I don't even have like a proper portfolio. It's something that I'm considering for the future, but for now I'm still focusing on other things. I don't know, but I don't know, like, how was the experience for you? Because I think you have also like project your movies at least a few times out there, right?
Yeah, I did like 3 film festivals. Yeah, I mean it's really. I don't know, man. I felt very uncomfortable because if you're really creating something internally and I don't know, exposing it is it's a very daunting thing to do. And then I've also just I'm so like discouraged, like to start that journey of putting stuff out there because of how saturated everything is at the moment. Like, I mean, it's amazing that we have these technologies that can reach millions of people instantly, but yeah, it's just like because of that there's just so much noise, so like breaking through or finding people who would be interested in your stuff, I think it's like a big challenge. So I had my documentary out in the cloud, but I took it off because I just felt like I don't know, it kind of just like sucked the life out of me.
No man, but I also get that feeling, you know, it's like that basically when you make art, you're also putting part of yourself in there in the process. It's you, man, what you are exposing, you know, you're exposing your vulnerabilities, you're exposing all you have. And I get that that's sometimes, man, it's really a lot. It's really, really a lot.
Yeah.
So it's important to have like a, you know, a simple space where you can start. Like, for example, if you head up to a place like LBB where you can, you know, get a little exposition going. If you got a place like Blender in Heerlen, you know, where they bring in young artists and, you know, at least give them like a little art market space where they can sell their art. But then again, I mean, we live in the digital age, and even though there's a lot of people out there, I see Arturo up on Instagram. Yeah. I'm on Instagram myself because I also do photography next to my writing, which is a little combination I do. I mean, how's that been working out for you, Arturo? You've been doing some new stuff recently as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working mostly in like videos for my YouTube channel and things like that. To be honest, it's a bit. It's a bit weird, man. It's a weird feeling because I don't like that part of the work, you know. It's like I'm doing it because I want to put my work out there and I want the people to look at it, you know. But what I love to do is to draw, man. And that's have little to do with drawing, you know. Mm-hmm. But I take it as part of the process, you know. It's like, okay, there are people out there that they might be interested in looking at my pictures and they might connect emotionally with them, but I need to find them, you know. If I keep it for myself, I'm sure I'm never gonna find them. So I have to go through a process of making Instagram reels and these kind of things that I don't enjoy particularly, but I look in the bigger picture. I try, at least.
Do you feel like you guys, like, do you feel like you lack the tools to do what you want to do right now, maybe because of a lack of formal education? Or do you feel that, you know, you've been brought in nicely into this situation in a way you're doing it yourself?
Yeah, that's actually an interesting one, because I think that when you don't have a formal education, you are missing a little bit like that network, right, of contacts, that network of, I don't know, it's like a safety network, you know. You are just like jumping to the swimming pool and you don't even know if it's full, you know. but yeah, I don't know. I mean, in my case, for example, I don't have any formal education. I just teach myself like the best I could, you know. I was just watching YouTube videos, and now I'm actually doing like a more like a proper course. But I just started last year, you know, like all this time I've been just trying out, and yeah.
Hey, not doing it formally can be a deliberate choice. I mean, when I was growing up, I tried to do that deliberately, you know, try to get as little influence from the outside in there, you know, as I possibly could. But, you know, trying to keep my work as original as possible. And I always felt like, oh, maybe if I start doing formal training, that'll influence me and I'll become just like, you know, I'll become cookie cutter just like the rest. Yep. But Cheapo, how's that for you? Do you? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, with the film, it's a really resource-heavy art form. You need access to a lot of stuff to get things going. So, but yeah, like the first story I ever wrote, I was just trying to make a movie that's like just from my experience, and I was just going to like random people, like, hey, yo, you got a camera? Can we just like try and make this happen? But quickly, like, it kind of started, the ball started rolling, and people started coming on board, and we had actors and all this, and I was like, well, I don't even know what the hell I'm doing, you know? And then that quickly overwhelmed me, and once that insecurity kind of surfaced, everyone kind of lost confidence. So I was like, yo, I need some sort of foundation here for me to keep the ship together, you know? So yeah, after that, I did a quick documentary course. And I was kind of hoping that I was going to get there and there's going to be all these creative people and we're all going to be like-minded and shit. But that was like completely not the case. Like, I didn't really get along with like anyone there. And I didn't come from that like world. And there's a bit of a hegemony. Is hegemony the right word? Like where everything's like together, like the same. And thoughts about everyone was kind of just like thinking the same and stuff. Then I found it really hard to interact or articulate my vision to people. So that even though I had that training, I left that experience still feeling like a total outsider. So,
yeah. So you're blazing a new trail and looking for a new network, really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, ideally, I think I would just need like, I don't know, if I could just get like 3 or 4 people who can... we can make this alchemy and everyone can fit and believe in the vision, then I think like that would be like the perfect scenario for me. Sure.
Mm. Yeah, man, it's, you know, it's, you see, it's not some, you know, it's tough out there. It's not even, you know, not going to be simple or the same for everyone. Even if you pick the formal route, if you pick the informal route, I think we're all making our way as we go along. And I think it's about time that we head on into our next track. And our next track is Let Love Grow by our Portuguese friend Brani.
Real to say, if you
Thanks for staying tuned in. This is Student Radio Maastricht on RTV Maastricht 107.5 FM. And as our audience know, indeed, usually we are playing music and talking a lot about artists and students. But today we have the episode Mozart, bringing art back on track. Thank you so much, Liam, and the rest as well, Arturo and Chippo, for let's say co-producing this episode. And it's super nice that now we are involving a lot of visual art and also a videographer.
Yeah, this is a new format. Yeah?
This is good. Yeah. I like it.
Thank you, Sham, as well. Yeah, you just listen to Let Love Grow, just like we're growing in the artistic space. And, you know, that might have taken you back to some recent LBB jam where Branny played, and we'll be hoping to see Branny again soon. Now, talking about, you know, the state of stuff, what do you guys think about the state of art, the artistic spaces in Maastricht? Because you're both, you know, from different places. I've heard Leuven,
Chippo was in Leuven for a long time, so maybe you can actually like compare it a little bit. What do you think is the main difference between Leuven scene and Maastricht?
Well, yeah, I mean, I haven't really explored much here in Maastricht. I don't know, it kind of felt to me like it was, I don't know, there was like the in-group and then everyone else.
I mean, I can kind of get what you mean. Like, I think sometimes, especially when you've been in the city also, like, for very little time. So I get that. Also, like, for me at the beginning, it was kind of hard to connect with other artists. Now I'm starting after 4 years. So Imagine it's been a long run. But after 4 years, I have the feeling that I'm starting to connect with more artists. And I'm kind of realizing that there's way more happening in the city that I originally thought. Still, you know, this, of course, it will be better if it will be more things happening here. But it's a small city, right? It's not Amsterdam, or it's not like a big capital.
It's a big city for Dutch purposes. So. I mean, we've got the Bonnefontein Museum. They're doing Museum Nachts coming up soon, you know, where they're trying to do art all around the city. Yeah. But I guess maybe within the in crowd, there's always another in crowd, you know, and then within that in crowd, there's another in crowd, especially in like the individual arts. I personally get that feeling. So I have some friends who were doing poetry stuff in the former student hotel in the former Sphinx building. They're called Puss Poetry, for example, and they're now involved in Museum Nacht in Bonnefontein, which I think is a bit, you know, all about connections. But then if we're talking about TEFAF, which happens in Maastricht, that's a big leap as well. Mm-hmm. So if we're not getting these entry-level spaces where artists can just actually get started and start, you know, exposing, working, workshopping, you know, no ateliers, little stuff like that. Yeah, so I hope that, you know, you guys do find your niche and your space within the city.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, yes, at the end is what we were talking about like previously also. That is, you have this gap between TEFAF, right? That is like an art fairy for the craziest art and the most expensive art in the world. And just like the really, really entry base level, you know, and you need to fill that gap with the spaces, you know. You need to find those spaces, and I have the feeling that in Maastricht sometimes you have many spaces like that, or many people that they are trying to build spaces like that. For example, this atelier in Mariestraat 13. I've been following for a little bit. I think it's a recent thing, but they are trying to build a space there, you know, to kind of have like an entry level space for small artists that they are starting, and they want to do their things there. You need more things like that. And I think there are a lot of them, but they are really disconnected between each other. That's the feeling I have here. Sometimes it's like, oh, okay, why these guys are not collaborating together? You know, they're doing the same thing.
Yeah. I think we could do with a bit more of, you know, underground stuff meeting above ground stuff. I started here in the Heerlen area, and there's a lot of like entry level opportunities there, but they're usually brought forward by formal organizations. So we've got Output now, and if you go to Output, you can land yourself an art exposition in a way in Shunk. That happened recently to a friend of mine, Kashka. She does art as well, visual art, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that's how she, you know, how she got there. But then, you know, that's a very, you know, you need to know that track to get in there. And that's basically a place for troubled youths, as it were. So we'd have to get you guys in trouble first before we could get you on that track, right? Yeah, so we're in need of more spaces that are open to artists. And it's good to hear that you're finally, you know, discovering a couple of those.
Yeah, slowly getting there.
Yeah.
And talking about one of those spaces, we've recently heard in Eindhoven they've got like a mini LBB at the Stromhaus. And the next track that we're going to be listening to has been recorded there. You've heard of them before. They play together with Projector. It's Video Call.
Apart.
Thanks for staying tuned in. You're listening to Mozart, bringing art back on track on Student Radio Maastricht, RTV Maastricht 107.5 FM. And without any further ado, thank you so much, Liam, Arturo and Chipo, for coming by. And I'll pass on the microphone to our host, Liam.
Yeah, thank you once again, Sham. You just listened to Apologies by Video Call, and it's necessary for me to apologize, actually, because we followed that up with Necessary by Projector. Talking about necessary things, I wanted to dive a little deeper into the general state of art and what you guys think about how things are going in a space right now. Like, one of the things that I feel has been polluting the art space a little bit is AI art, for example. Arturo, what are your thoughts on AI and what it's doing to art?
Ooh, this is going to be a deep one, man. well, I mean, of course, it's something that is changing the game completely. It's like a revolution in all possible senses, that's clear. In some way, many people are really, really concerned about what's going to happen with the future of visual arts now that you can just produce like infinite amount of images in no time. And with zero like skills, but you
don't think it takes any skill?
No, I mean, of course you can produce better or worse images, right? Like, if I know a lot about visual images, I can produce probably a better image than if I have no idea. I just give a general description. But to be honest, it's a very unusual opinion. But I think, in the long run, the people that they want to make art, and they are going to keep doing it, you know, it's like no matter what, okay, they are going to invent these things, and in the future there's going to be even more things, you know, who knows. But if the people that they are committed to it, they're going to keep doing it, and at the end of the day, like in the long run, there's going to be not that many people that they're going to be capable of doing it, because many people are going to quit on the way because of these kind of things.
And in the end, I mean, AI as it's working now, it has to source its art from somewhere, so you know, somebody's got to keep on producing for AI to take.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The new stuff. Yeah.
And how do you guys feel about, obviously we've got AI generated art, but how do you feel about AI touching up your images, for example? Maybe Chipo, do you have any ideas on that?
Yeah, just to like touch on the previous question quickly, I think it's exciting. I think we're going to go through a period now similar to when cameras were invented, and how that was going to impact painting, how that impacted painting, you know, because before it was all about technique and hyper-realism. And then cameras were invented. It was like, hey, why the hell are we going to keep doing it?
Yeah.
But it's not like painting went away, you know. So, but art then changed, because then people were like, yo, there's no point of me continuing on this path. I'm going to be more expressive with the way I paint. So I think there will be a similar evolution in art where people are going to be like, okay, if AI can cover this at a level that I can't possibly like achieve, then I'm going to make like something, yeah, I don't know. There'll be more personal exploration in art. Yeah, it'll be more coming internal rather than like more commerce, like trying to attack a certain objective or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you're talking about more commercial as well, you know, versus the, you know, the inner sphere and all the workings of the soul that we're trying to project in our arts, we could, you know, talk about what we consider art nowadays, right? Because, you know, you talked about the transition from painting to photography, and I guess back in those days, people might have considered that photography might not be art, or what we have now when we've started with video games after movies, where people, you know, say video games aren't art, and that's like a big discussion. How do you guys feel about that? What would you consider art now?
Yeah, I mean, I think, of course, it's a really, really, really difficult question. But for me, I more or less have an opinion that is that I don't have any opinion. I don't think I'm capable of defining what art is and what art is not. And I don't think anyone is capable of giving like a solid and absolute definition that works for everything and everyone, you know. But yeah, but it's a really difficult one. But for me, it always has something in common, that it tries to put something from the inside to the outside, from your inner world to the external world that is outside of you, through infinite medias. And yeah, I mean... And
so wouldn't you draw the line then maybe at the cookie cutter? Kind of, you know, that what AI generated art can tends to do is, you know, bring you a similar type of images because it knows what is popular. And we try, you know, we have artists, I suppose, who try to make that which works commercially, which is sort of the same. I can, you know, we can make 1,000, we can take 1,000 pictures of a flower, yeah. But are they art or are they just then pictures of a flower? You know, that's,
Yes, yes. Yeah, but I mean, for me, the main difference there is the intention that you have when you are putting something out there, you know, like at the end of the day, an algorithm doesn't have any intention.
So is that then also not something that's in the eye of the beholder?
Yeah, I mean, also in some way, of course, but that's the thing. That's why it's also so complicated. If you take 100 artists and you ask them what is art, I'm sure you're gonna get 100 different answers. I'm sure.
And I think the more you try to dig into that, the more it vanishes. So it's something you kind of just have to view from a distance a little bit. And it's completely like counterintuitive. Like art, it's not something that you can box in and like define the way we do with most of the stuff in the empirical world. Like it's completely fluid,
right? And that's so, the magic of it also.
So you know? the moment you try to dig and box in, you've already lost your way. So
I always say that it doesn't operate with the same rules that the rest of the things that are happening in this universe, like, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you're trying to do it in a scientific way and it's like not that.
Exactly. It's just the opposite.
Opposite. But we're talking about not boxing in. But then if I, for example, in Maastricht, we have the Bonnefante Museum. So if I'm, you know, am I decontextualizing my art if I put it in a museum? Am I not telling people that this is art because I brought my piece of art to the museum?
Yeah, you are.
But you mean that you walk in the museum and you hang your art in there or what?
No, I mean, as you know, if I'm looking from, you know, if I'm just someone who's not an artist and I'm walking into the museum, then you're basically giving me the context because I'm in a museum that what I'm seeing is art.
Yeah, but that's, I think, because of commerce. Because when you go into a museum, you pay. So the building has now become a thing where it's like, yo, you give me money, and then you go inside, and then there's a bunch of stuff that humans, like, who create art, put there.
Exactly. But for me, I mean, it depends. Like, if you are doing it also, like, with an intention of expressing something, or maybe, you know, just, like, just make fun of art in general, okay, yeah. But to me, it sounds like art, definitely. Yeah.
So what you're basically saying is intention is key.
Yeah. At least to me, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I guess sometimes, you know, stuff change, perception changes over time. Right, if you're looking at like a big ass painting like the Nachtwacht, it's a famous Dutch painting. But at the time, it was sort of like a self portrait for this company, as it were. It was kind of like a selfie. And only afterwards, now it's like one of the most expensive and well known paintings and therefore pieces of art in the world. So, do you guys feel like time also reframes art?
Yeah, it changes people's opinions on things. So, yeah, I think, like, it's a big part of the equation is the way people perceive whatever.
No, 100%. Like, who knows with which eyes, like, the people in 500 years are going to look back at this period, you know, what are going to consider art and what not. It's like time reframes not only art, time reframes everything.
All right. I think that's a beautiful thought, guys.
100%.
And, I think we're about to head into our next track. You have heard of our friend Battletech before, but now he's transformed and he's back as Makona. So let's listen to Introfusion by Makona.
Thank you so much for staying tuned in. You're listening to Mozart on Student Radio Maastricht on RTV Maastricht 107.5 FM. My name is Sham, doing the tech. And thank you so much, Liam, for coming by and exploring a much, much broader world of art beyond just music. And today we have two visual artists. So before we go any further, Liam, thank you so much for finger-picking these amazing tracks.
Thank you, Sham. Yeah. And thank you for the artists who contributed to those. And you guys just listened to a student radio and Mozart exclusive as of April 7th, where we're recording this. This was an unreleased track, Introfusion by Machina. And hope you guys enjoy his new style as much as we do. Yeah. And without further ado, I think we should get into our final part. I'm very curious, guys. We have you here as artists, and I'm just curious if you guys have anything new in store.
Yeah, are you working on something, Chipo?
Yeah, I'm going to do a poetry, 11 short poetry films with my lovely girlfriend, Elina Willard.
Shout out.
She's a working poet here in Maastricht. We want to kind of explore how poetry and images can intertwine.
Sounds beautiful, man. 100%.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And we're going to... I mean, initially when I brought up the idea, I was like, yeah, I just want to make something really bad. But just having that like frame of mind, it could either go very pretentious or it could just give us the freedom and the space to experiment and for her as well to... have a new style or touch on different forms to express her art. So
awesome, man.
Excited.
Yeah, in my case, right now, well, I'm always drawing. That's what I do essentially most of my free time. But besides that, I'm also putting together a live drawing group. Actually, I don't know yet when we're going to get started. But if you follow me in my social media, just stay tuned, because that's going to happen at some point. It's going to be really cool. We're going to have live models there to draw in live. I think it's going to be an awesome event. But yes.
What's your social media tag?
It's actually arturo.garcia4rt_. Don't forget the lower score.
Do you have a social media?
Chipo.sikumba, and then my art page is Gooch and Grundle. Gooch and Grundle. All
right, and if you guys want to check out my photography or a little bit of my melancholic writing, then you can check that out at Progressive in Motion.
All right.
On Instagram.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. We will definitely tag these handles as well.
One more shout out, sorry, for my brother Ollie. Oh, yeah. And he has a page called apart.lifestyle. And it's a very special page.
Definitely follow him. He's an absolute legend.
Very high level artist. Go give it a look.
Yeah, giving a little shout out also to the artists that we listened to today. We got Ned. We have Projector, who, if you're looking them up on Instagram, it's a funny story, actually. We're not talking about the Philippines' famous Projector. We're talking about Projector, who on Instagram are tagged Projector, because somebody already took that beautiful, beautiful name. Then we also listened to a track by Branny. We listened to Video Call, who may be collaborating with Projector in the future. And we listened to Machina. And that's
exactly, and the track that you listened, by the way, I think it was released in the moment that you're listening to this recording. It was released already, but it's a new one, so check it out.
Hey. Yeah, it's the way we like it, a proper fresh material.
Hey, it's gotta end up somewhere in the ether, and you know, like us, all artists gotta end up somewhere. So how about we listen to Somewhere by Ned?
Thank you so much for coming by, and also thanks to RTV for helping us record and broadcast this episode.
Ay, ay, ay.